Previously on Cliff and Kendall, Coast to Coast.
All this technology. I don't know how to take naked pictures of myself with the phone yet.
Kendall, there's not enough bandwidth on anybody's phone for a naked picture of you. Whoa! Kendall, I'm so fat.
And now welcome back to our show.
Cliff and Kendall, two big old boys from Nashville, grew up and branched out all across America. From thousands of miles away, they reunite online and in your ear, each week bringing you bits of humanity in the form of a podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, Cliff and Kendall.
Well, Cliff, we've always said that we would do this show till the end of time.
Until the end, and here we are.
Here we are. It is the apocalypse, Cliff. It is the apocalypse.
Kendall. Oh my God, what is that over there? Do you see that over there, Kendall? Do you hear it? The clip-clop of its hooves. It's a white horseman.
Oh, I knew that we shouldn't have said take that Pope all those times.
It's the first horseman of the apocalypse.
Are we going to be left behind, Cliff?
Kendall, okay, in all honesty, it is the apocalypse, and we are living in the end days.
And this is the way I want to spend it.
What do you think apocalypse is? Will be, or what does that mean to you in a real life way?
Well, I think the apocalypse is, as it said, I guess the end of the world.
Okay. You know?
And like all these end of world movies, you know, 2012, whatever.
Yeah.
I think it will honestly be something like the sun, you know, doing some weird thing that's going to end the life on Earth, or some cataclysmic meteor event or something. You know, we can't be so blind as to think that the dinosaurs were wiped out, that we could be too one day.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't mean to be rolled down.
No, that's good. I thought you were going to give the wrong answer, but that was right. It just, if whatever happens and the human race stops, if it ever happens, first of all, I hope you're listening to this show. And
yeah, we're saving this episode for when the apocalypse actually does happen. This is a pre-recorded episode.
As the blood starts raining from the sky, we're going to upload it, send it out on iTunes. So,
hurry, Cliff, upload, we got to go.
Upload! It's at 30%! But anyway, Kendall, oh my God, Kendall, did you hear that over there? That was a red horse with a red rider. It was the second horse of the apocalypse.
Uh-oh, we're getting closer. We're getting closer, Cliff.
Oh my goodness.
Now, Cliff, I want to know, in an apocalypse situation, assuming that we have time to think about it and that we have time to do anything about it,
okay,
what is the last thing you would want to do on Earth?
Okay, so here's the situation. It's like we're standing there and we can see the sun or something towards us.
No, here's the situation. Dan Rather, or whoever's on the news now, comes on the news.
Dan Rather.
And he says, breaking news. Or Wolf Blitzer says, breaking news. In 3 days, the world will come to an end. More on this at 11. What would you do for those last 3 days?
Okay, so the world really will, we're going to explode in 3 days.
Yes, there's no chance of ever living again after 3 days. Like, you know an end date. What do you do?
Okay, first of all, where are you and I in the car on the way to? The grocery store. We're swinging by the liquor store on the way back. Cliff, you've got 3 days. I think, what am I going to eat? Or what will I not eat in these 3 days? What will I drink? How aware can I be? And then after that, I think, where's my Steel Magnolias DVD? Where's
Cliff
collection
and Kendall Save Christmas?
Of Cliff and Kendall greatest shows? Yeah, that's can I queue up Like a Prayer fast enough? Those are my thoughts.
Well, You know, I actually put a little thought into this, and you know, I'm not going to lie to you. The idea of this show came from when I was watching 2012.
Okay.
The movie. And
sorry,
I broke the fourth wall.
Yeah.
There is this one character in it who's playing on a cruise ship, right?
Okay.
And he's a jazz musician. He's playing music on the cruise ship, and he finds out, you know, this is happening, whatever, and he doesn't have long to live. And he asks the bartender for a Jack.
Uh-huh.
Pour me a double. And evidently he was an alcoholic, and he gave it up for 25 years. And they're like, why are you drinking? Why are you drinking? And I thought, you know, if I knew the end of the world was coming, I want to be drunker than a skunk. I don't want to know my foot from my hand.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be so drunk that I don't know what's going on, so I don't even feel a thing. I want to be overly medicated with Jack Daniels, and then, and only then, will I just say, eat what I want to order, like 12 pizzas, and stuff my face until I can't eat another thing.
Yeah. I was about to take it somewhere dirty, and I was going to say, part of me would say, how many disco sticks can I round up in these 3 days? But that part would lose, Kendall, because the other part of me would be on the way to the grocery store.
Yeah.
And I would say, you're going to eat or you're going to disco stick. And eating would win.
Although you might have a chance with Zac Efron if there were only 3 days left.
I might. Put on this blindfold. It's for when people hit piñatas.
Here, have this drink and put on this blindfold.
Yeah, yeah. I'll go get some roofies.
You're going to roofie Zac Efron.
Only Zac Efron would I roofie.
Oh, God. It would be sad. It would be sad. I definitely want the sad music playing.
Oh, the sad music is going to be on repeat.
On loudspeakers playing throughout the country.
Oh, yeah. Well, like we'll get an ice cream truck.
Yeah. Bloom,
drive
bloom,
around.
Bloom, bloom,
bloom. Bloom, bloom. Yeah.
Well, anyway, Cliff, it's going to be a real sad day, but I think we should focus right now on the positive and tell some jokes.
Oh, all right, whatever you say. If it's going to make you happy,
Cliff.
Here in the end times. Hey!
It's time for some end-of-the-world bad jokes.
It's the end of the world, and we know it.
You want to start?
Kendall, this guy, he says, Doc, I think I've got a sex problem. I can't get it up for my wife anymore. Kendall, you might know something about this. The doctor, he says, come back tomorrow. I'm about being married with a wife and erectile dysfunction. Come back tomorrow, the doctor says, and bring your wife with you.
Uh-oh.
The next day, the guy, he shows up with his wife, Kendall. The doctor, he says to the wife, take off your clothes and lie on the table. And she does this, Kendall. But the doctor, you know, he walks around the table for a few times, looking her up and down. He pulls up the guy to his side and he says, you're fine. She doesn't give me a hard-on either.
Oh.
Kendall, what an asshole.
What a filthy doctor.
Asshole!
Well, mine's about taking off clothes, too.
Oh.
Now, one day, Cliff, at the rest home, old man and a woman are talking. Now, out of nowhere, the woman says, I can guess your age.
Oh, my God. And by the rings around his balls.
The man, he doesn't believe her, but he tells her to go ahead and try. And she says, well, pull down your pants.
Oh, my God.
And now,
I can't believe it.
Now, Cliff, he doesn't understand this, but he doesn't understand a lot of things these days.
He didn't know.
He does it anyway.
Look, I don't know why little Johnny's mom does it, but she did.
He does it anyway. And she inspects his rear end for a few minutes, and then she says, you're 84 years old.
Oh.
And he said, that is amazing. How did you do it? And she says, well, you told me yesterday.
Oh.
What a forgetful old man.
And so she just wanted
She wanted to check out his rear end. She wanted to get a good grasp on some hangy flesh.
Oh, God. Kendall, how do you know when a male porn star is at the gas station?
He pulls out and lets it drip or something like that?
Oh, okay. Right before the gas stops pumping, he pulls out the nozzle and sprays it all over the car. Kendall, what's
you told
the
that
difference?
Joke like so few weeks ago.
A long time ago. Longer than it seems. What's the difference between a band leader and a gynecologist?
One has a conductor stick.
Well, you'd think. One, a band leader sucks his singers.
Ooh.
And a gynecologist sucks his fingers.
That is disgusting. Now, clip an executive.
Kendall, I meant to say, let me go back in time and say, Kendall, you're not going to like this.
Okay, well, you should have prefaced with that. It's the end of the world, and I don't want to hear bad things like that.
All right. Yeah.
Now,
clip his fingers.
An executive was in quandary.
Oh, my God.
He had to get rid of one of his staff, and he had narrowed it down to one of two people, Deborah or Jack. It would be a hard decision to make, as they were both equally qualified and both did excellent work. Now, can you stop talking about telling my joke, please? Now, he finally decided that in the morning, whichever one used the water cooler first would to go.
Oh, what an astute.
Deborah came in the next morning, and she was hugely hungover after partying all night.
Oh, damn.
She went to the cooler to get some water to take an aspirin, and the executive approached her and said, Deborah, I've never done this before, but I have to lay you or Jack off.
Oh.
And Deborah said, could you jack off? I have a terrible headache.
Oh, my God. Deborah. Indeed.
Going you saw that coming, didn't you? You saw that
and
coming.
Don't be down.
Now, when I read that, I had to pray about it for about 5 minutes to get it.
All right, Kendall. this man, he says to his wife, I don't know if you're going to like this or not. I forget how
I'm just
going to
talk
out.
For your joke. Oh, this... what do you say, Cliff?
This guy.
Poor guy.
He says to his wife, I feel like having kinky sex.
Oh, kinky.
How about, Kendall, you're not going to like this. Blow my load in your ear.
Ooh, blow the load in the ear, Cliff. Blow it.
His wife, she hastily replies, no, I might go deaf.
Oh, deaf.
To which the man responds, I've been shooting my love wads.
Ooh.
Love wads in your mouth for the last 20 years, and you're still fucking talking, aren't ya?
Ooh. Disgusting.
Love wads.
Now, Cliff.
Kendall, for those of us who've had a love wad in our...
Now, Cliff, Harry, Harry,
not
he
Harry.
Was sensitive about his wooden leg, and he was afraid that no woman would have him. So he was delighted when he found this young woman who accepted his proposal of marriage.
Uh-huh.
Now, he couldn't bring himself to tell his fiancée about his leg when he slipped the ring on her finger, nor when she bought the dress, nor when they picked the time and place. And he kept saying, darling, I've got a big surprise for you, at which she blushed and smiled bewitchingly. Now, the wedding night came, and it went, and the young couple was at last alone in their hotel room.
Oh.
Now, Harry said, now don't forget, the wife said, don't forget, Harry, you promised me a big surprise. And unable to say a word, Harry turned out the lights, unstrapped his wooden leg, slipped into bed, and placed his wife's hand on the stump of his leg. Now, the wife, she said, ooh. That is a surprise, but pass me the Vaseline and I'll see what I can do.
Oh my God.
That was a nasty joke, wasn't it?
Kendall, how can you tell?
Who knew at the times I would get so nasty?
Who knew? Well, Kendall, you've been saving it up like a good boy. Now, how can you tell? You're over there picking your nose.
Yeah, it's the end of times.
It's the end of times. Who cares? Just let it fly, everybody at home. How can you tell a sumo wrestler from a feminist?
I don't know, Cliff. How can you tell us from a feminist?
I'm both. A sumo wrestler shaves his legs. Kendall, what did the woman say to her swimming instructor?
I don't know, Cliff.
She said, "Will I really drown if you take your finger out?" Ooh. Kendall, what is a necrophiliac's biggest complaint about sex?
I don't know.
Their partner just kind of lays there.
Oh my God. God.
I'm sorry, everybody, but it's the end of times, and our writers wrote those. They want to get everything that they wrote out on the air.
Get it out. Let's take a break, Cliff, because I see some hail and brimstone coming down, and I want to go grab a drink.
Oh, my goodness, me too.
We'll be right back. Hopefully.
Hey, you've made it this far into the show. It'd be a shame to give up now. Cliff and Kendall will be right back after the break.
Hey, listeners, it's the end of the world, so you know what that means. Half off all Cliff and Kendall merchandise. Go to cliffandkendall.com today to get your mouse pad, souvenir mug, or thong so you can wear it in the afterlife. Remember, go to cliffandkendall.com today, click on the link for Cliff and Kendall merchandise, and enjoy the afterlife. See you in the next life.
Now let's rejoin our regularly scheduled podcast.
Doors. Bad times are coming. Par for the course. Watch it flow. Tear on through. All you know. All you do. It's a too noisy. Read my lips. Look over yonder, up on that hill. Must be those horsemen coming to kill. Watch it flow.
We're back.
Oh my goodness, alrighty, we're back.
Fortunately, not dead yet. Now, Cliff.
You know, how I've been so lucky to live this long in the apocalypse. Did you see what went by in the break? It was a black horse with a black rider, Kendall, the third horse of the apocalypse.
Oh, we're getting close. Well, I thought it would be a good idea for us to do our favorite segments of all time.
That is such a good idea.
Now, what is your favorite segment, Cliff? What is your favorite segment we do on this show that you would
Kendall,
like to do
I've
right now?
I've often said that my favorite part of the job is helping people.
Even in the
It's
topics.
Helping people. And so I figure while the blood is falling from the sky, there's no better time to help somebody than by doing a Dear Cliff and Kendall segment.
All right, here we go. You got it. You've got questions, we've got answers. Dear Cliff and Kendall.
Dear Cliff and Kendall.
All right, Cliff, why don't you start us out? It's your favorite segment. Let's go.
All right, let me reach in this big barrel here.
Last time.
All right. Dear Cliff and Kendall. I'm a huge fan and frequent listener. But I recently started seeing this guy I met at a friend's party, and he is just gorgeous. He did a double take the first time he laid eyes on me and instantly introduced himself.
Entered.
By the time we were on the dance floor, Cliff and Kendall, it was as if no one else existed. We were dancing, making out. It was just us and the music. To make a long story short, even though I'm just getting started, he made me so hot that I took him back to my bed. Ooh. And he didn't leave my house until 6 o'clock the next evening.
Waukesha.
Kendall, we've done a couple more stints like this and Cliff since that first time, and I absolutely loved it. He told me that he initially thought I was a sweet, innocent lady, like Mrs. Potter Butter Butter Churn. I have that look, apparently. But I am a dirty girl in bed. Probably because, Kendall, you may not like this. I ask him to smack me, speak dirty to me, and tie me up.
I don't like
now,
that.
I hear off a friend that he said I am filthy in a good way, but I still feel a bit put out. Is this all that he thinks? I want him to really get to know me and like me for me, not just my nympho sex. Cliff and Kendall, I know it sounds weird, but that's just not what I am like in life, but it is how I am like in bed. And I know it may have been a lot for a short time, but I hadn't been getting any in a while, and Kendall, I had to omit some right here. But I'm back to your letter. He is an amazing lover, but now I feel I should have waited a while. I actually like him a lot and want to take it further, but I'm afraid I may have scared him off. Cliff and Kendall, can I have my sexual cake and eat it sexually too? Can I make him mine and have filthy sex with him as well? Should I try to lay off the rough sex? Lay off sex altogether for the time being? And do more culturally stimulating things like listening to your information desk episode and actually getting him to know me better? Or, Cliff and Kendall, do I sod it all and F him dry until I'm bored? Is the relationship even worth it? Please help me. Signed, Helpless in Hanoi. Kendall, what do you think?
Well, that was a long letter, and I'm surprised we made it to the end of the letter before the apocalypse happened. But I'm going to say this.
That was so long, that letter. Right? It was long.
I'm going to say that, you know, if she loves, if she's starting to, like, form a relationship with him, there's nothing wrong with having a strong sexual relationship, even with a long-term partner or a husband or a wife or what have you. It's, you know, I'm sure that helps any kind of relationship. So I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Just because she's dirty in bed doesn't mean she's a bad girl.
Exactly.
I just think that if she wants to take it further, she talks to him and they work it out together and they say, hey, look, let's take this a step further. Continue to be dirty, but call it something more.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. I think talk to him, not while he's like sniffing your armpits or anything rough, sexy.
Maybe
but just talk
take
to
the
him
hands off your neck from choking you long enough for you to get a word out.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good solution, Kendall.
All right, let me read mine here. Dear Cliff and Kendall, I don't think I have a recessive personality, yet I constantly find myself in conversation with people who appear to have no interest in what I have to say.
Oh my goodness.
I know the feeling. Regardless of the subject, I am never able to finish what I want to say before the other person interrupts with his or her own more important story. An example, I said, my
Kendall,
mother-in-law...
this reminds me of a good...
An example, I said, my mother-in-law came to visit last night, Before I could get the next word out, someone started talking about an incident she suffered through with her mother-in-law. She continued on for more than 5 minutes. Another time, during an hour-long lunch with a girlfriend, she spent 45 minutes, I timed her, talking about herself. And then there's my coworker who spent 7 minutes on a conference we had for a project we shared discussing the project, and the rest talking about herself. Am I expecting too much to be heard, respected, empathized with, and supported by people I consider close friends and associates? What can I do to remedy this? And that's signed, let me finish.
Kendall, did you know I'm friends with your mother-in-law on Facebook?
Yes, I did know that. And see, look, you're doing the same thing. I
what,
live
Kendall?
With this on a daily basis.
Was there a question posed to me?
I live this on a daily basis. I found this question in our bag of questions, and I thought this is a great question to ask at the end of times, because I have often felt the same way in groups of people where you start to talk and other people just interrupt you. But I think the solution of this is to be assertive and let them know that you have something to be said too.
Yeah, you just say, you know, if you're telling a story about how you're friends with somebody's mother-in-law on Facebook, and somebody breaks in and is like, blah, 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 you just say, excuse me.
I wasn't finished.
Ow. I wasn't finished. And so that's all you have to say, right, Kendall? And they will back down.
That's all you have to say. I knew we shouldn't have said take that Pope all those times because things are coming toward us. My favorite second clip is this. It's time for Kendall's Weird News. You know what's weird, Cliff, is that it's the end of times.
It's the apocalypse.
Now, Cliff, Pastor John Rinkins, Extreme Ministries of Memphis, Tennessee, is one of a supposedly growing number of churches that use mixed martial arts events to recruit wayward young men to the Christian gospel.
Typically,
after leading his flock in solemn prayer to a loving God, Pastor Rinkin adjourns the session to the back room, where a New York Times reporter found him in February shouting encouragement to his violent parishioners. Hard punches, Rinkin yelled. Finish the fight! To the head! To the head! One participant told the Times that the fight nights bring a greater masculinity to religion, which he said had, in recent years, gone soft. Well,
It's like a big, soft, wet...
I guess,
Kendall, it's
Cliff,
ridiculous.
I guess we really do have to beat religion into some people.
Well, you have to beat it into some people, Kendall.
Now, Cliff,
oh, my God.
Cliff and listeners, they don't make cops like they used to.
Tops?
Sheriff? Cops.
Cops.
Cops. Sheriff?
Cops and robbers, okay.
Sheriff's deputy, John Franklin of San Luis Obispo, California, filed a lawsuit in December against the Catholic Church and former priest Geronimo Guervas for the emotional trauma he suffered by being propositioned for sex.
Geronimo, queer ass? Is that what you said?
Getting back to Dear Cliff and Kendall.
Geronimo Queer, okay.
Guervas.
Cuervas.
For the emotional trauma he suffered by being propositioned for sex while working undercover in 2007.
Oh, no.
Deputy Franklin was patrolling a public park near Avila Beach when Father Cuervas reached out and touched Franklin's clothed genital area. Cuervas was arrested and convicted by Deputy Franklin and said he is not yet over the feeling of anger, rage, disgust, and embarrassment.
Cuervo Gold. Do you remember that song?
Now, Cliff, I'm not going to like this. One day after being convicted of a DUI with a prior, Barnes caused a car crash as she proceeded to shave her vagina behind the wheel.
Oh, my God.
Now, not only had her driver's license been revoked for 5 years, but she is required to have a... breathalyzer ignition on any vehicle she drives as part of her 9 months probation. And despite the legal matters, she just wanted to be ready, as she puts it, to meet her boyfriend on the way to Key West. So she had a passenger hold the wheel while she went downtown.
Oh my God.
With a razor.
Kendall,
Barnes could face up to a year in prison, and luckily the people she struck were only treated for minor inner injuries. We can't figure out which part is worse, the passenger who decided to hold the wheel or taking a razor to your genitals in a moving vehicle.
Oh my God, Kendall, sometimes I feel like you should call this segment Revolting News. Yeah. That was revolting.
And one last thing, Cliff. Did you know that applicants for taxicab drivers... that they make the applications in different languages, in audio, large print, and also in Braille.
Braille.
Does that worry you?
You can't make this stuff up, Kendall.
I can't make it up. It's weird news. And that's all the time we have for weird news.
Kendall,
now, here's the apocalypse.
I had a cab driver. Did I tell you this? He was Russian.
Yes, you did.
And he said...
you told me.
Tonight.
You told me.
And I just
told
thought it was
me.
So funny. And I said, just the regular amount of tea tonight.
And that was sad.
Being a feminist, I could not believe his language.
Well.
Kendall, did you hear what that was over there? It was a pale horse with a pale rider. We've seen all four horsemen of the apocalypse.
Well, the time has come. Listeners, if you have any time left in this apocalypse, go to cliffandkendall.com, cliffandkendall.blogspot.com. Call us and let us know what your last thoughts are at 818-3084-FAT. Email us at cliffandkendall@yahoo.com. If Facebook still exists, you can find us there by searching Cliff and Kendall. We are all over the once
Facebook
many-viewed email, internet.
Twitter.com/Cliff and Kendall, Facebook.com/Cliff and Kendall. Call us from where you are if you're battling locusts or plagues, pestilence, famine, whatever it is you're calling. If you are the false Messiah,
we want to hear. We want to talk to you.
Yeah, why not?
Cliff, what, you have a quote?
Yes. Do you?
I have two.
Ah, you go with one and I'll go in the middle.
All right, my first one is, what the caterpillar calls the end of the world, the master calls a butterfly, and that's Richard Bach.
No, that's nice. You do your other one, I decided, then I'll go.
Okay, my other one is a funny one. Due to the lack of experienced trumpeters, the end of the world has been postponed for 3 weeks. Unknown Arthur.
Unknown Arthur. Now, Kendall, mine, I really thought that this was beautiful.
That's what
Henry
she said.
David Thoreau, on his deathbed, was asked if he had made his peace with God. He replied, "Why, I did not know we had quarreled." Don't you think that was beautiful?
That was beautiful, Cliff. Thanks for sharing.
Because everybody's
that.
Like, you got to make your peace with God. Everybody, we have already made it. We have already made it.
We've already made it. Well, listeners, it's time, Cliff, for you to take us home down that apocalyptic road.
Kendall, I hear the earthquakes. I hear the thunder and the lightning, the death around us. And all I can say is, take me home, apocalypse road, to a place after the apocalypse, Cliff and Kendall. Apocalypse right now, we're all dead, coast to coast. I'm Cliff.
And I'm Kendall. Thanks for listening all these years.
We love you. We'll see you next week on Cliff and Kendall, Cloud to Cloud.
Technical difficulties have occurred with Cliff and Kendall. Please do not adjust your broadband connection. Thank you. Thanks for listening to today's show, Cliff and Kendall Coast to Coast. We'll be here next time. Keep the emails coming in and be sure to subscribe.